All right, I have got 6 o'clock, so I am going to call to order the November 10th, 2020 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. Ms. Nakona, can you please give us a roll call?
Commissioner Bergsma?
There we go. Present.
Vice Chair Harrington? Commissioner Hurst?
Here.
Commissioner Hong?
Here.
Commissioner Posey?
Here.
Commissioner Sturman?
Here.
And Chair Gamble?
Here.
Let the record show we have a quorum.
All right, thank you. If you could please follow me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Well, I would like to welcome everybody out tonight. I appreciate everyone joining us remotely again as the pandemic ensues. So obviously, well, I think this is our regular meeting format now. It's been like this most of the year, but obviously the dynamics will be different from in-person meetings. And I'd like to go over a couple of Zoom topics before we get started. To participate in tonight's meeting, you need to be logged into Zoom either through the app, or you need to call in from your phone. So a quick perimeter of that, anyone who would like to address the commission either during the call to the audience or after one of the agenda items, you will need to go down to the bottom of your screen if you are using the app and click on the participants icon, and then you should see a list of all of the participants, and there will be a little button that if you click on your name, there's a little button that says raise your hand. That will alert me that you have a question or comment, and then I will unmute your microphone and I can turn on your video if you wish to do so. So please wait for the appropriate agenda item to raise your hand. We'd like to keep our meeting as efficient as possible. And just so everybody knows, myself, Mr. Spaeth, and Mr. Joe Andrews from our legal department are all unmuted and can interject if needed at any point. So with that being said, one other thing, if you do have a comment or a question you'd like to ask, if you could please state your name and whether or not you're a resident of Oro Valley, and we ask that you keep your comments to 3 minutes, just as we do with in-person meetings. So at this time, I'd like to do the call to the audience, and during this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the commission on any issue not listed on today's agenda item. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, individual commission members may ask the town staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item, or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the commission may not discuss matters raised during call to the audience. If you wish to address the commission on a matter that is not listed on tonight's agenda, please notify us now by clicking the Raise Your Hand button if you're on the app, or by pressing the *9 buttons on your phone if you had called in. And I will just watch for a few seconds to see if anything pops up here. It doesn't look like we have anybody wanting to address the commission for a call to the audience. So, I will close the call to the audience. I'd like to introduce our council members in attendance. We have Vice Mayor Barrett with us, as she is our liaison, and it looks like we have Mayor Winfield as well. And I hope I'm not forgetting anybody. I'm looking down my list, but not everybody uses their full name, so I'm not sure. But I think that's who we've got. And I'd like to turn the time over to Vice Chair Barrett for the council liaison comments.
Yes, thank you. It's good to see you all this evening. The council has just reviewed and approved the Proposition 207 related marijuana zoning code that was forwarded to us by the commission. We had an apartment study session, and we approved on our consent agenda the conceptual plans for the Linda Vista apartments that came forward that were already zoned. And we don't have anything planning related on our next agenda upcoming. However, we will be hearing the case you're hearing tonight, the general plan amendment, in the beginning of December. So thank you.
All right. Thank you, Vice Mayor Barrett. I appreciate that. I am now going to proceed with our agenda items. Ms. Ancona, will you please read our first agenda item?
Review and approval of the October 27th, 2020 special session meeting minutes.
All right, thank you. Could I get a motion for that? Commissioner Bergsma?
Yes, Chair Gamble, I move to approve the October 27th, 2020 meeting minutes as written.
All right, thank you. Can I get a second, Commissioner Posey?
A second.
Great. Thank you. Ms. Ancona, could we get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Thank you so much. And Ms. Ancona, if you could please read out our second agenda item.
Public hearing, discussion regarding the proposed First Avenue and Tangerine Road general plan amendment and rezoning for a 13.44-acre multifamily residential development located south of Tangerine Road and approximately 0.2 miles east of First Avenue. Item A, Type 1 general plan amendment to change two Chi Capri special area policies to allow multifamily residential uses on a vacant commercial parcel, 2001085, and item B, rezoning to change the zoning designation of a vacant parcel from C1 commercial to R6 multifamily residential, 2001306.
All right, thank you so much. I am going to turn the time over now to our staff presenter, Mrs. Hannah Oden.
Great, thank you, Chair Gamble. Can everyone hear me okay? All right, excellent, thank you. Good evening, my name is Hannah Oden and I'm a senior planner with the town of Oro Valley. Okay, next slide, please. The purpose of this case is to consider two separate requests. The first is for a type 1 general plan amendment and the second is for a rezoning request to allow multifamily residential uses on a vacant commercial parcel located near the southeast corner of the First Avenue and Tangerine Road intersection. By state law, all Type 1 general plan amendments must be considered by Town Council in the same calendar year they are submitted. This application is scheduled for two Planning and Zoning Commission hearings, will be considered by Town Council in December. So the state mandated requirement will be satisfied. Tonight, I will provide information about the applicant's request and walk you through their proposal, and the applicant is also here tonight to provide additional details. All general plan amendment and rezoning requests require a recommendation by the Planning and Zoning Commission with final approval by Town Council. Last month, the Commission considered the proposal at a public hearing for discussion purposes only, and no action was taken. Tonight, the case is presented to the Commission for discussion and a possible recommendation to Town Council. Okay, next slide, please. So to orient ourselves, the subject parcel is located near the southeast corner of the First Avenue and Tangerine Road intersection, and it is outlined in yellow on this slide. It is 13.4 acres, commercially zoned and currently vacant. Immediately to the south and east is the Villages at Silverhawk Residential Subdivision, and the Catalina Shadows neighborhood is located to the east. To the south is Palisades Road and the Palisades Splits residential area. To the west, across First Avenue, is the Tangerine Hills neighborhood, and the Oro Valley Retail Center with the Walgreens is located farther to the north. Across Tangerine Road to the north is the Safeway Vistoso Plaza. The subject property would be served by the future Kai Drive, which is shown on this slide. I also want to mention that there is a similar vacant commercially zoned property, which is located immediately to the west across Kai Drive. And Pima County owns the land immediately to the north of the subject parcel, between the subject parcel and Tangerine Road. Okay, next slide, please. So I want to spend a brief moment describing the applicant's request. The applicant is requesting to amend the general plan and rezone the subject property from C1 commercial to R6 multifamily residential to allow the uses shown on this slide. The applicant is proposing 5 different options, which are apartments, rental casitas, townhomes, senior care, and single family residential uses. I will discuss these concepts in more detail later on in my presentation. And again, the applicant will also be able to describe them in detail. Okay, next slide, please. Now I want to start by going over some key considerations to keep in mind as I move through my presentation and discuss the applicant's request. First, there will be minimal to no view impacts from Tangerine Road and First Avenue and the existing adjacent neighborhoods due to topography and the distance of the subject parcel from these areas. The proposed height is also the same as the existing homes in the adjacent Villages at Silverhawk Residential Development, which is 25 feet. Compared to the existing commercial use, the proposed land use will provide a more graduated transition from the existing single-family residential homes to other nearby commercial uses. Moreover, an increase in residential density will help nearby vacant commercial parcels develop, which will support the Oro Valley economy and provide new services to residents. An important focus of this proposal is how each proposed use will support nearby commercial areas. The densest options, which are the apartments, rental casitas, and townhomes, will have the greatest economic benefit as they will provide more residents for an economic base. It is also important to note that currently there is not enough residential density to support commercial use on the subject parcel, and it suffers from poor visibility for major roadways. Lastly, a traffic impact statement has been submitted by the applicant and thoroughly reviewed by staff for safety and potential impacts. Mitigation measures will be implemented when warranted at the cost of the developer to accommodate the proposed development. Okay, next slide, please. Next, I want to spend some time providing some background information and history of the parcel regarding the general plan and associated special area policies. The parcel is identified in the general plan land use map as neighborhood commercial office. This land use designation targets commercial and office areas close to major roadways and is intended to serve nearby residential neighborhoods. Residential uses may also be included in neighborhood commercial office areas on a case-by-case basis. The general plan also has a number of areas identified which are subject to special area policies. The purpose of these special area policies is to define the type and character of development for an area and is an effort to take special care to plan these areas in a comprehensive manner. The subject parcel, which is outlined in yellow on this slide, is within an area known as Kai Capri, which is outlined in blue on the slide. It runs east of First Avenue, south of Tangerine Road, and includes the sanctuary at Silverhawk subdivision to the south. The general plan includes a number of special area policies for this area. This includes residential density, as the Kai Capri area is currently mapped for a maximum of 255 residential units. Currently, 227 residential units have been approved for the Villages at Silverhawk and Sanctuary at Silverhawk subdivisions. The special area policies also restrict commercial and residential uses in certain areas, have height and view preservation restrictions, and include policies for environmental protections, especially regarding riparian areas. The subject parcel is subject to the special area policies identified in the general plan. Okay, next slide, please. Now, I also want to provide some background and history regarding a previous rezoning that gave the subject parcel its existing zoning designation. In 2015, the subject property was rezoned from large lot residential R1-144 zoning to C1 commercial. The area to the south and east, which is the Villages at Silverhawk residential subdivision, was included in the rezoning but is still zoned for single family homes. The area was rezoned concurrently with the vision for a master planned community type of development with a commercial area serving the nearby residences. The image on this slide shows the extent of the rezoned area with the subject parcel outlined in yellow. C1 commercial zoning permits uses such as offices, retail, and restaurants. As part of the rezoning, a site plan, which is known as a tentative development plan, was approved for the subject parcel, which is the image shown on this slide. The tentative development plan showed a layout with commercial uses for the property, which included parking, landscaped areas, and approximately 86,000 square feet of building space. Under the existing zoning, this is what could be developed on the site today. The existing allowed height under C1 zoning is 25 feet, and this will remain the same. The 2015 rezoning also conserved approximately 58% of the rezoned area as natural open space. The extent of open space preservation went well beyond any of the residential subdivisions in this area, and as part of the rezoning, there was an extensive public outreach process. Next slide, please. So now that I've covered the background and history of the parcel, I'll begin getting into the specifics of the applicant's request, and we'll start with the general plan amendment. The Your Voice, Our Future general plan is a voter-approved policy document that drives town decisions and reflects community values. It includes a vision, guiding principles, and goals and policies that guide town decisions and development. The property is designated as neighborhood commercial office under the general plan land use map, which is shown on this slide. The applicant is not proposing a change to the land use designation of the parcel from neighborhood commercial office, so that land use will be retained. The parcel is also located within a tier 2 growth area identified in the general plan and is shown with the purple dashed line on this slide. Tier 2 growth areas are neighborhood-focused commercial areas which are supported by a variety of residential areas. These areas are intended to serve the immediate needs of residents while limiting impact. The applicant is proposing a text amendment to the general plan to change two Chi Capri special area policies. The first is to increase the number of maximum residential units. As mentioned previously, as currently mapped, the maximum number of residential dwelling units is 255. The applicant is proposing a new maximum of 394 residential units for the Chi Capri area to accommodate their proposal. Second, the applicant is proposing changing a special area policy to allow R6 multifamily residential uses on the subject parcel. As written, the neighborhood commercial office areas must be used for commercial or office use and do not permit residential development. The proposed text amendment would allow multifamily residential uses on the subject parcel that are consistent with R6 zoning. The special area policies also specify that any increase in overall density from one dwelling unit per acre or a change in commercial area to residential must be treated as a type 1 general plan amendment, which is the process that this application has been subject to. Okay, next slide, please. The general plan outlines the specific amendment criteria that all proposed general plan amendments are evaluated by and must satisfy. General plan amendment criteria provide a tool for the town to judge the merits of a specific amendment request. Now I'll go through the first and third amendment criteria in the following slides, and we'll cover the second further on in my presentation when I discuss the public participation process. The applicant's complete response to the amendment criteria is in attachment 2 of your packets. The first criteria is if on balance, the request is consistent with the vision, guiding principles, goals, and policies of the general plan. The applicant is proposing a variety of diverse housing types, including apartments and casitas, that will meet the need of Oro Valley residents and is supported by the general plan. The general plan also calls for a diversified and robust economic base to support long-term economic stability. An increased residential density in the area provided by the apartment, rental casita, and townhome concepts will support the long-term economic stability of the town by providing the residential population needed to support surrounding commercial areas. I will discuss this in more detail in the following slides. Next, the general plan amendment shall not significantly alter the existing development character or land use patterns without adequate buffers and graduated transitions in land use and density. The proposal provides an appropriate graduated land use transition from the neighboring single-family residential homes to the adjacent vacant commercial parcel on the southeast corner of First Avenue and Tangerine Road. Appropriate buffer yards are also provided to mitigate impacts, and for some proposals, staff is recommending a condition of approval for an enhanced buffer yard between the proposed development and future single-family homes, as this would provide an additional mechanism for an effective land use transition from the medium-density residential development at Villages at Silverhawk to the proposed multifamily residential development. Again, the building height of 25 feet and 2 stories would be the same as what is allowed at Villages at Silverhawk, so the development character would not be affected. If approved, the architecture must also be compatible with the surrounding development. Next slide, please. The general plan amendment may also not impact existing uses with increased infrastructure without improvements to accommodate for the growth. Proposed infrastructure and improvements are able to accommodate the proposed growth. The parcel will be served by Oro Valley Water Utility, and there's ample sewer capacity. The completion of Kai Drive to Tangerine Road will accommodate future traffic and has been carefully analyzed by town staff as part of a traffic impact statement submitted by the applicant. The cost of all necessary infrastructure will be borne by the developer, including utilities. The proposed general plan amendment must also not impact public services. The proposal will not adversely impact these services. Amphi School District has capacity for the proposed development. Recreation areas will be provided on site. No major drainage issues currently exist, and the Oro Valley Police Department and Golden Ranch Fire have reviewed the proposal. Lastly, the general plan amendment request may not impact the natural beauty and environmental resources without suitable mitigation. As part of the master plan from the approved 2015 rezoning, which included the subject parcel, approximately 58% of the site, or 86 acres, were conserved as environmentally sensitive open space. The proposed development must also conform to all applicable zoning provisions related to plant mitigation, landscape design, and environmental conservation. A site resource inventory was completed as part of the rezoning, and no significant vegetation was found on site. The site was also graded by the Arizona Department of Transportation in the 1990s, so vegetation is not as dense or mature as you might find in surrounding areas. The proposal does not require any additional environmentally sensitive lands conservation, as this was applied during the previous rezoning. As mentioned previously, view impacts would be minimal to non-existent due to the distance from major roadways and adjacent existing homes. This would not negatively impact the natural beauty of the surrounding environment. Okay, next slide, please. I'll now discuss the third amendment criteria related to how the proposal supports the economic stability of the town. While this proposal is for residential development, the criteria is still relevant as a key component of this request is how each of the proposed uses would support surrounding commercial development. Staff and the general plan support retaining commercial uses. However, the site has poor visibility due to topography and being over 400 feet away from Tangerine Road and over 800 feet away from First Avenue, which is a challenge as a commercially zoned parcel. Staff asked the applicant to provide an economic impact analysis report early on in the process, detailing how each of the proposed concepts would benefit nearby commercial areas. The applicant's findings detailed in the report mimic what staff has seen in Oro Valley. There is not enough surrounding residential density to support commercial uses on the site, and denser residential options are needed to support nearby commercial areas. The applicant's findings for the proposed concepts are shown in the table on this slide. While the townhome option is not specifically covered in the report, discussions with the applicant place the economic impact between the rental casita and single family residential option. The uses that are highlighted would provide new services to Oro Valley residents by helping the nearby commercial parcels develop. Under the proposal, tech and research and development offices would still be permitted and retained for employment uses. While there is a higher risk for development, the community economic benefit is also high. If this use was proposed in the future, a tentative development plan would need to be considered by town council, as this is not currently being proposed as part of this application. Overall, the three densest options, which are apartments, rental casitas, and townhomes, have the highest economic benefit and the lowest risk for development. However, there is a difference of almost 60 units between the townhome and apartment and casita options. Of all five proposed concepts, these provide the greatest economic benefit, but the apartment and rental casita options are still greater than the townhomes in terms of supporting nearby commercial uses. Staff does expect the townhome option to develop at a higher density than the single family residential option regardless. Denser residential options are needed to support nearby commercial areas. The findings of the applicant's economic analysis report support the pattern staff has seen in the town and why this component was a key consideration early in the process. As such, senior care and single family residential uses provide the least amount of economic benefit. While the same number of units are proposed for the senior care use as the apartments, by nature, the senior care use generates the least amount of economic benefit. Allowing multifamily residential uses on this parcel, specifically apartments, rental casitas, and townhomes, are key to making adjacent future commercial parcels work and ensuring compatibility with adjacent residential uses. Staff has significant concerns regarding the lack of economic benefit of senior care and single family residential uses in regards to supporting nearby commercial areas. And I will discuss this further in the following slides. Okay, next slide, please. So next, I want to discuss the proposal relative to what it means for the surrounding commercial area. As mentioned previously, one of the challenges the subject parcel faces for not being able to develop under the existing C1 commercial zoning is a lack of surrounding residential density to support surrounding commercial uses. This slide shows an aerial with the subject parcel outlined in yellow. Nearby vacant commercial parcels are outlined in red, including the adjacent one to the west. Currently, there are approximately 77 acres of commercially zoned land at this intersection, and approximately 55 acres are vacant. For these commercial sites to be successful, more residential density is needed. Rezoning the subject parcel to R6 in conjunction with the completion of Villages at Silverhawk would provide important density needed to support existing and future commercial development at this intersection. Allowing multifamily residential uses on this parcel is key to making future commercial parcels work, and increased density translates to increased customers. With that said, the senior care and single family residential uses would provide the least amount of economic benefit and support to these commercial areas. This is due to both the lack of density for the single family residential concept and the fact that senior care uses generally have a low economic benefit. Because of this, staff is recommending the previously mentioned rezoning condition of approval that would remove the two concepts from the rezoning application. Staff is concerned that if senior care and single family residential, the tentative development plans are approved, this would only lead to rezoning of the adjacent vacant parcel for residential use due to a lack of immediate residential density to support the commercial use on that parcel. While increased residential density on the subject parcel is key to making surrounding vacant commercial areas successful, staff sees this as just an initial step of a larger remedy for the entire intersection to become viable for commercial uses. Staff anticipates the additional parcels marked with a star on this slide will also request conversion to residential uses to support the larger commercial intersection, as there is not enough surrounding residential density to currently support commercial uses on those parcels. In particular, the Rancho Vistoso planned area development has not developed to the originally anticipated density. Height-restricted multifamily residential development on these parcels would provide the additional residential density needed to support commercial uses, which includes the subject parcel. Again, without increased residential density, staff expects the vacant commercial parcels to remain vacant and will not develop as intended. The existing surrounding residential density does not support the level of commercially zoned land at this intersection, as approximately 72% of the commercial land has remained vacant. The next slide, please. So now that I've discussed the proposed general plan amendment, I'll move into discussing the second part of the applicant's request, which is the proposed rezoning. The property is currently zoned as C1 commercial. The zoning permits commercial uses such as retail, professional offices, restaurants, and drugstores, as shown on the table in this slide. The zoning provides for large-scale office uses and medium-sized retail centers and is generally located along major arterial roadways. These developments are meant to be compatible with surrounding neighborhoods. The applicant is proposing to rezone the property to R6 multifamily residential. This zoning district allows for multifamily residential uses and higher residential density. It also allows for professional offices on a residential scale that support employment opportunities. Again, the applicant is proposing apartments, rental casitas, and townhomes, as well as senior care and single-family residential uses. The existing C1 zoning does not permit these residential uses, which is why the applicant is proposing the change. Next slide, please. So as part of any proposed rezoning, the applicant is required to submit a tentative development plan. This is the design they are held to should the rezoning application be approved, and it is reviewed for code compliance by town staff. In this case, the applicant is proposing the 5 tentative development plans shown on this slide, which again are apartments, rental casitas, townhomes, senior care, and single family residential. The applicant is unsure of the ultimate end user for this parcel, which is why the 5 options are being proposed. The applicant is maximizing their options by incorporating multiple uses permitted under R6 zoning. Now, while the design of all these options are different, they all have been reviewed for code compliance and have some common elements. All proposed options will have a single access off Kai Drive, with internal sidewalk and pedestrian connections connecting to the future sidewalk along Kai Drive. A public trail easement to connect Kai Drive from villages at Silver Hawk Phase 3 will be provided either on the subject parcel or on the adjacent Pima County land and at the northern property boundary. Depending on the development scenario, between 10 to 35% of the site will be retained as open space. 15-foot minimum buffer yards adjacent to future residential development on the south and east property boundaries are being proposed. The applicant is also proposing supplementing this buffer yard with existing landscaping at villages at Silver Hawk which is permitted by code. The maximum of 167 units is being proposed, and that's the maximum allowed under R6 zoning due to density, which limits the density to one dwelling unit per 3,500 square feet of gross land area. And there is a 25-foot height limit, which is the same as existing C1 zoning. And again, that's the existing height that is currently allowed for the adjacent residential neighborhood. All proposed options also have code-compliant recreation areas. Now, again, the bottom two tentative development plans are the senior care and single-family residential options. As mentioned previously, staff has significant concerns about these concepts due to the lack of economic benefit and is recommending a condition of approval that these two concepts be removed from the rezoning application. This would not eliminate the uses on the parcel, as they are allowed per R6 zoning, but it would require a reconsideration of another tentative development plan by town council should the uses ever be proposed on the parcel in the future. Okay, next slide, please. An extensive public outreach process was used for this proposal that satisfies the second general plan amendment criteria. Due to the unique challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic, two informational videos were posted in April to provide information about the project, solicit feedback and questions, and address the questions and concerns that were raised. In May, August, and September, three online, fully interactive Zoom neighborhood meetings were conducted. As part of these meetings, a number of key concerns were raised and include the following, which are shown on this slide. So that included compatibility of the proposed development with the surrounding area, especially concerning view impacts, concerns regarding traffic safety, as well as concerns regarding pedestrian safety, light pollution, potential negative impacts to property values, as well as the economic benefits of each of the proposals. So staff has reviewed the applicant's proposal for how these have been addressed and finds that the applicant has adequately addressed these concerns at follow-up neighborhood meetings and in their application. Again, they are here tonight to discuss these topics in more detail as needed. The Planning and Zoning Commission considered this proposal at a public hearing last month for information and discussion purposes only. Issues discussed included the density of the townhome concept, the process for alerting prospective home buyers at the Villages at Silverhawk neighborhood to the proposed development, and buffer yard width. Staff's complete response to these items can be found in the staff report, and the applicant is also here tonight to address these issues. Next slide, please. So with any general plan amendment application and rezoning, we look for conformance with the goals and policies of the general plan. This application conforms to the general plan by providing a diverse range of housing types, supporting nearby commercial areas with the apartment, rental casita, and townhome options, providing an appropriate transition between the adjacent single-family residential development and neighboring commercial uses, and providing a public trail connection to Kai Drive as part of this development. As discussed in detail earlier in this presentation, the proposed general plan amendment meets all required amendment criteria. The proposal is also reviewed for compliance with the zoning code, and all tentative development plans comply with the R6 zoning standards, which includes height, setbacks, and buffer yards. Okay, next slide, please. So in summary, if approved, the proposed application would result in a multifamily residential development with minimal to no view impacts from First Avenue and Tangerine Road, and would be the same height as adjacent single-family homes. It would provide an appropriate and more graduated land use transition between existing residential areas and future commercial development than what is allowed under existing zoning. The apartment, rental casita, and townhome options would provide the residential density needed for the adjacent vacant commercial parcel to develop, as currently there is not enough surrounding homes to support commercial uses on the subject parcel, and it struggles from poor visibility due to topography and being a substantial distance away from major roadways. As discussed, the economic benefit is greatest for the apartment, rental casita, and townhome concepts, although the townhome concept does provide the lowest density of those three. A traffic impact statement has been thoroughly analyzed by staff, and suitable mitigation measures will be implemented when warranted to accommodate any traffic impacts at the cost to the developer. Staff is recommending conditional approval subject to the conditions of approval found in attachment one of your packets. This attachment includes several conditions, but notably, staff is recommending that the senior care and single family residential tentative development plans be removed from the rezoning application. Staff is also recommending a rezoning condition of approval to dedicate a cultural resource area to the town to carry out a condition of approval from the adjacent Villages at Silverhawk Phase 3 development. Again, this case is being presented tonight for discussion and possible action in the form of a recommendation to Town Council. So this concludes my presentation, and the applicant is also here tonight to present additional details about their proposals. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Ms. Oden. I appreciate that. I am now gonna turn the time over to Mr. Paul Oland. Let me make sure I've got you unmuted. Mr. Oland?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, we can hear you loud and clear.
Terrific. Thank you very much, commissioners. And my name is Paul Oland with Paradigm Land. I am here on behalf of the property owner requesting this rezoning and general plan amendment. Ms. Oden said that I would be providing a lot more detail. There's not a lot more detail to give, but her presentation was very thorough. We've worked with staff extensively over the past number of months, so a lot of questions and details have been worked out. So I appreciate the detail she went into. So I won't belabor many of those points. I would like to hit on just a few kind of high points and then finish up. So this is part of a larger land holding that the family has owned for over half a century. Over a third of it has been granted as open space either south of Palisades or north of Palisades as part of the two Silverhawk developments. Next slide, please. As Ms. Oden mentioned, there were a number of special area policies that were applied to the entire parcel about 15 years ago in the general plan. This master plan, what it did was basically design the property in accordance with all those special area policies. You can see the commercial up in the north and then the residential in the rest of the property. Again, adhering to the setbacks, densities, building heights, land uses, things like that that were made part of the entitlement through those special area policies. And again, significant open space. Also, I'd like to point out, you can see on this map here, these little yellow markers, they point to trails. Those have almost all now been built in accordance with this master plan. The ones south of Palisades have been built within the sanctuary at Silverhawk development there. There was an equestrian use that needed to be preserved, so that was done. The Palisades path has been built. The Villages at Silverhawk, you can see there's two trails going up through there. I believe one of them has been built, and then the one on the east side will be built with phase three. And then you can see wrapping around the north edge of the whole thing there, north of the subject property, that you can see that those trails actually connect. There's that little white dashed line. And that is the connection that Ms. Oden referenced earlier, that we'll be either incorporating into the northern edge of this property or more hopefully within the public open space that Pima County owns to the north of it that used to be part of Rancho Vistoso. Next slide, please. Nothing more to say about this, really. Again, adhering to the special area policies there, existing uses could be retail stores, restaurants, things like that. So next slide, please. Thank you. So one thing that I wanted to touch on especially was traffic. If you remember the last slide, there was a road coming in off of First Avenue along the southern edge of both commercial parcels, blocks four and five. And that was part of the original approved master plan, part of the original zoning. And then, but what that would have done was put a lot of traffic out on the First Avenue, just south of Tangerine, all the commercial traffic, and then probably more than half of the residential traffic, because you would have gotten all of Phase 3 Silverhawk and then about half of Phase 2, all dumping out on the First Avenue at that one spot. So that would have created an issue. So what we did since the rezone was analyze this loop road that's shown on this map here, and basically connecting up to Tangerine Road so that there's kind of a connection there between the two, giving residents within Silverhawk and also users within the commercial blocks better access to both Tangerine and First, and giving them the ability to access either street without necessarily having to clog up the intersection of First and Tangerine. So one thing that the Kai family did in the last few years was actually acquire a piece of land from Pima County, just a strip, a little triangle of that open space, which was quite a process, but that was acquired for the specific purpose of allowing this road connection to go through, because the traffic engineers have agreed that this functions a lot better than what was shown during the original rezone there. So next slide there. Thank you. This is just an aerial of the disturbance, previous disturbance that Ms. Oden mentioned that ADOT did when they built the bridge over Big Wash. They borrowed a whole bunch of dirt from this property here. And so most of it has been disturbed, which is why you don't have a lot of old growth vegetation on site. Next slide, please. Thank you. So these are all the commercial parcels. I won't belabor the point, but I do want to point out that this parcel is very distant from Tangerine Road. And again, that's reiterated in the Valbridge property report in terms of their assessment as to the viability of this commercial land. Again, the distance, lack of visibility, a lack of easy access just kills the commercial potential here. Next slide, please. Actually, Mr. Spaeth, could you back up one? Thank you. I just wanted to point out it's old history, but the piece north of Safeway, all of the commercial land there that used to have residential as a conditionally allowed use probably 16, 17 years ago. And we actually had a townhome proposal on that piece north of Safeway. It would have been a great development. We had the conditional use permit in, and then the zoning code was changed to delete that, and the market didn't work out, so the proposal ended up being pulled. But when the zoning was changed at that point, we couldn't go back in and ask for that use. But originally, that was a kind of a backup use on the commercial land, was a conditionally allowed residential. So just old history, but it's interesting. At least I think it's interesting. Next slide, please. Thank you. Again, to the point of struggling commercial here, we've got Oro Valley Marketplace. That's getting redone now because on the retail sense, it's sort of imploded. The Rooney Ranch down there, we've got vacant spots down there, a lot of vacant space. Thank you. And then also up there at the old Bash's Shopping Center where the Gaslight is. Another large anchor went out there. So struggling retail for all the reasons that Ms. Oden mentioned, lack of density, plus Amazon, I'll throw that into the mix. So it's all just kind of a perfect storm. Next slide, please. So as Ms. Oden mentioned, we hired Valbridge Property Advisors to conduct an economic impact analysis for us to help us refine our understanding of what would be a good use on this property, what uses might not be so viable, and to really confirm our notion that the commercial zoning, existing commercial zoning, is not a viable use on this piece. So they did confirm that for the reasons we've already mentioned, the distance to the intersection, lack of visibility, lack of density, much better commercial pieces, specifically at this corner, never mind elsewhere. There's just this piece is totally hamstrung and really is not positioned for retail commercial development at any point in the foreseeable future. Next slide, please. industrial and R&D. This was a use that was actually added recently when the zoning code was amended to allow light R&D uses within C1 commercial. We think that's a great move, of course, by council. Some parcels are obviously better positioned to take advantage of that additional entitlement than others. What Valbridge found was that this is one of the ones that probably isn't in terms of its potential to attract employers, R&D, tech users like that. And mostly this is because of proximity, and the Innovation Park area really has, they've got an almost monopoly on the really premium high-tech R&D tech park parcels in Oro Valley, as they should, because that's where Ventana is, that's where it's not Sanofi anymore, Oro Valley Hospital, Secure Plane. That's where those users really want to go. So you're going to get secondary tech users in some of the more visible C1 parcels perhaps throughout town, but not this one, and Valbridge's report confirms that. Next slide, please. I don't think I really have anything to talk about on this slide that hasn't already been said, but we do believe that Block 4, which is the darker red piece there on the corner, we do believe that will be viable someday. That's partly why we're holding that out of this application, because we think, especially with additional density on this piece, Block 4's viability will increase. And hopefully those other two pieces that Ms. Oden mentioned earlier in her presentation that are positioned for downzoning to allow additional units, that would help, obviously, our Block 4 and then the other undeveloped commercial pieces at this intersection. Next slide, please. Traffic impact statement was updated. There was originally one done for the overall rezoning. This was an update to that to analyze these new uses. And basically what it found is that the traffic generated is similar in terms of the existing commercial versus the proposed apartments or higher density residential. The residential does produce a tad more, but it's also spread out in a way that doesn't impact the overall flow and capacity of nearby streets. So bottom line, no real measurable impact between existing and proposed. Next slide, please. Thank you. So again, Ms. Oden went through a lot of detail on these slides. I'll just point out a couple of things. One is the cultural resources area that is added as a condition of approval at the very bottom of attachment one there. That's actually late in the game. We're okay with it. There's an archaeological site off the map here, really, almost entirely on Villages Phase 3. And we had all thought that the dedications that needed to happen had been accomplished already, but Pima County spoke up and said, no, there's actually a few square feet at the very northeast corner of this project that also need to be dedicated to the town, and doesn't impact any of the site plans we're proposing. So of course that's totally fine. But that's why I don't remember if it was on there at a study session when we talked about this last month, but that's why it's a relatively new condition. Of course, we're totally okay with it. So, excuse me. Apartment use, again, huge economic impact potential to help out nearby retailers because of the density that we're talking about. I also want to talk about the apartment use in general, because over the years, that's been a little bit of a lightning rod in Oro Valley, as you all know. In Oro Valley, you get Class A apartment complexes. In Valbridge's report, which we'll get to in a second, they analyzed that, and what they found is that the rents, of course, in Oro Valley in apartment complexes are notably higher than most other places in the Tucson region. And so with higher rents, you get higher quality, higher wage earners. And again, you get a big impact for nearby commercial users. I did see a couple of letters come in also from some of the tenants in, I think they were in the Safeway Shopping Center, actually asking, supporting this proposal to add density, because they desperately need it, especially, COVID's not here for a long time, but COVID, in addition to all the other things we talked about, it really made it hard on those guys. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, Valberg took a look at this for us, and what they found was that the average income of apartment renters is not terribly different than the average income of folks who live in non-rental situations in Oro Valley, at least. Most folks who live in apartments or rental situations in Oro Valley are actually renters by choice. Most of them could afford to purchase, but for one reason or another, maybe it's a stage of life or an employment situation or whatever, they are making the choice to rent, and they can certainly afford to do either one almost most of the time. So at any rate, the multifamily option here, Valberg has confirmed that it has a big impact, potentially a big impact to retailers, and it also helps fill a need in the residential market. You know, the general plan talks about providing a full spectrum of housing options in Oro Valley. And believe it or not, Oro Valley is still underserved by some of the non-traditional, some of the higher density options. There are a few townhomes, a few condos, some apartments in Oro Valley, but by and large, it's a single family community. So to flesh out that full spectrum of housing options, especially given the demands from employees nowadays, the multifamily option is a strong contender and provides a lot of benefits, not just for retailers, but also for renters. Next slide, please. A question came up about the potential impact to nearby property values. So took a look at an apartment complex that was built not too long ago. This was built in 2014, I believe. This is the Villas of San Dorado. You can see on the bottom right-hand corner of the screen. And what we looked at was basically how do property values in nearby homes, how have they changed since the construction of that development? So the chart on the bottom left shows the home. You can see over there all those black dots there to the southeast of the apartment complex there. Those are all single family homes, and almost all of them have a nearly identical chart here. So what the chart shows is their home value. You can see it fluctuates with the market there at the very left hand of the chart. You can see the tail end of the slump. And you can see 2014, since those apartments were built practically next door, the home value has continued to go up faster than the average in the zip code and faster than the average in Oro Valley. So I take from that is that really no impact to property values here because of the caliber of apartments that are built in Oro Valley, which is a function of land value and income as well. The top chart, real quick, just shows that the vacancy rates in Oro Valley in apartments are very low. We've got typically 95% plus or minus occupancy, which is considered full because of just normal turnover. So again, No impact to nearby property values. Somebody at the last hearing also asked about rents. So I looked up the rents in all of these here, and for a three bedroom apartment, they're all well over $1,500 a month, and more than a dollar a square foot, which is not far from what homes rent for in the area. So again, not a lot of discrepancy there. Next slide, please. Rental casitas, I think everybody has seen some of these get developed around Tucson over the last few years. They're very popular, especially their number one demographic is actually young, single, professional women. And I'm not going to try to explain that, but that's the strong attraction here. And they are a low maintenance, highly amenitized, not inexpensive housing option for somebody who doesn't want to have a yard to take care of, who doesn't want to have to worry about painting the outside of your house, but still wants to live in an environment with a lot of landscaping, a rec area, common pool, or whatever they end up deciding to build, also within the security of a gated campus. So again, this provides a lot of economic benefit. These are all single story too, so it's an even lower profile neighbor perhaps than some of the other options. Although, again, we've got two story homes all around us, and it's currently zoned for a two story height, so it's not out of character at all. Again, typically renting by choice, very beneficial to local businesses. No negative impact to this one. Next slide, please. Senior care, as we all know, there's been a huge demand for that. There's about 10,000 folks in the U.S. turning 65 every day, and that's expected to continue for the next 10, 11, 12 years, something like that. So the demand is not going to wane, and you've got a lot of people looking to convert their existing homes into a situation like this, where they will rent a highly amenitized campus setting with a lot of recreational amenities, both in the building, out of the building. These are built with a lot of amenities in the building too. But what you get with this, as Ms. Oden pointed out, is less economic impact. So although we think it's a good use, it would be a quiet neighbor. It would be an appropriate transitional land use between the single family and the commercial. We certainly aren't arguing with the fact that the economic benefit is significantly less than the other uses on this one. And in fact, that brings up the next slide, if you would, Mr. Spaeth. Again, I don't have to read this, but it basically says it's a good use, but it doesn't really help the local economy much. So we tend to agree with that element of staff's recommended condition of approval. Excluding this piece from the rezoning, excluding this use from the rezoning. Next slide, please. Thank you. Townhomes are sort of a middle ground between the single family and the two higher density options. Again, very similar from an aesthetic standpoint, landscaping, rec area, gated, benefit to local business, although again, it's sort of in between the single family and the higher, so its economic benefit would be in between the two also. And as far as the tentative development plan goes, we've got 107 units shown on here. That's schematic. So what we were envisioning was actually stacked units. So the massing would be the same, even though this doesn't look like that many units. It would provide that kind of density, again, with this sort of site plan layout. Really no negative impact to this either. Next slide, please. Single family option is obviously, from a compatibility standpoint, a complete no-brainer because it's surrounded by identical use. There would be, this would be an easy phase four to the villages at Silverhawk. It would fit right in. We think it's a good use, but we also understand staff's hesitancy to support this right off the bat because it does provide less economic benefit than the higher density uses. I wouldn't go so far as to say there's a lack of benefit, as Ms. Oden said, but in fact, the chart she presented showed this as having moderate economic benefit. It just wasn't high. So this is a low risk development with only moderate economic benefit. So if it pleases the commission and you all are looking to make a positive recommendation on this case, I would ask that the planning condition number one be modified to not exclude single family residential, but perhaps put something of a delay on it. Maybe a 12-month delay on that use, something like that, because we do think it's a good use. It's compatible. It does have a moderate economic impact benefit, but we will certainly endeavor to place a higher density development on this piece first. We agree that an apartment unit or the rental casitas that we looked at earlier would certainly be better uses for this property. They're just as compatible as some of the other things we've talked about. Less impactful than the C1 could be potentially, but they of course deliver a better economic impact. But if for whatever reason those don't pan out, we would like to preserve the ability to move forward with this, even if it's at a later date. I don't see a lot of sense having to go back through the same process with the same site plan. I think we could just put a pause button on it rather than exclude it. So that would be my request. I'm happy to answer any other questions everybody might have. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Mr. Olin. I am now going to turn the time over to commission members for questions and comments. Commissioner Posey. There we go.
Hello. Thank you, Commissioner Gamble. Thank you. Mr. Olin, I totally agree with you that this is not suitable for commercial. And the reasons why, because first of all, the visibility, you know, of not being able to see that over that area. And then, of course, the COVID effect and then Amazon. So I do totally agree with that. I just want to kind of clarify something that no matter what, and I appreciate so many proposals as well. This was very well thought out, and thank you for all of this. I do have a question, verify this, that 25 foot will be will not exceed 25 foot on no matter what proposal it is, the buildings.
That's correct, unless okay. You want to give me three stories for some reason. we'll take 25 feet.
Okay. No, well, thank you for yes. And how about, I know it's already, you know, graded and everything, but will there be any need for any landfill, bringing any more dirt in?
We do not expect that. We've taken a rough look at the engineering for this site in terms of how the grading will work out. And we don't see the need for additional fill on this piece. Dirt is very expensive in Oro Valley. So the last thing anybody wants to work into their project budget is buying dirt.
Okay. All right. And one more thing, and this question, I guess it might, your answer may depend on the proposal, of course, but I was wondering about when this construction might begin or be over. Do you have any idea?
Well, that's a great question. Assuming it's approved next month, we have strong interest, of course, from the single family guys, but that's not our primary motivation here. We'd like to hold them in the wings, assuming we can keep that as an option for a later date. We're in discussions with a couple different developers of those rental casitas. We're very excited about that option because we think that would just be a great use for this piece, especially with the single story. Honestly, that's our focus, is to make that one happen. We've talked to some of the apartment developers in town, and of course everybody's going 1,000 miles an hour right now, but they're all very interested in this piece too. But again, our focus is really on the rental casita one at this point. We'd like to run with that for a little while and see if we can make that one happen first. So how long it takes to put together, you know, a deal and a design and all that stuff, I would say probably if everything goes perfectly and the stars align, you'd see construction in 2022.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. I've also got questions from Commissioner Bergsma.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Gamble. Again, a question for Mr. Olin. Ms. Oden, in her presentation, noted that the Valbridge report did not look at the economic the strengths and weaknesses of the townhouses. Looked at everything else, but not the townhouses. Why was that?
Well, sir, frankly, I think it was probably because we saw that as being in between two other options and very similar. So we figured that that would just be seen as a middle ground. I think if we were to ask them to do that, they would come back and say something along those lines. That's basically, you're going to have a number of units that are somewhere in between the single family and the apartments. The spending power of those residents is typically going to be very similar to either of those. And so the economic impact is going to be something in the middle as well.
So you're making an assumption that that would have been their finding, but you don't know that for sure.
That's correct.
Okay. The second question is about the townhouse development. You're assuming that there would be stacked units, there would be stacked townhouses. That's what you said in your presentation. I'm not familiar with townhouse developments that have that kind of design. Can you point me to something that in this area that would like that?
Not in this area, but I think maybe we think of them more as condos. I think maybe that's the phraseology that would be more accurate, where you've got a vertically separated ownership rather than horizontally separated. But from an ownership structure, it's the same.
Okay, so it'd be more like a condo development than it would be a typical townhouse development. Is that correct?
Yeah, to get that kind of density, I think that would be the case. Aesthetically, it wouldn't look much different.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Do we have any other commissioners that had questions or comments? I'm not seeing any hands being raised. So I would like to now move on to our public hearing and ask for public participation. So if there's anyone from the public who has a question or a comment, if you can click on that participant button and find the little raise your hand button or press *9 if you're calling in from a phone and you've dialed in. And for those of you who do, I just wanted to remind you to state your name and if you're an Oro Valley resident, as well as please be mindful of our 3-minute time limit. So I will open the public hearing and I will just wait a couple seconds. All right, so I've got the first one, Devin. I'm going to unmute you. Would you like your video on? Oh. Hi, Devin.
Hi. Trust me, you don't want the video on.
All right. Okay, we can hear you. You're ready.
Great. Mr. Olin, I've sat through several of these, and we come up with the same five development potentials. When is one going to be decided on?
Chair Gamble, can we get the speaker to leave their name and whether they're an Oro Valley resident?
I'm sorry. Yes. My name is Devin Sloan, and I'm an Oro Valley resident in Catalina Shadows.
Great. Thank you.
Was that it? Should I answer, or was there more?
No, I just want to know when a decision is going to be made and how it's going to be made. I know that you said you're looking for certain contractors, but I just was curious when you all are going to make a decision.
Chair Gamble, again, it's Attorney Joe. Let's wait until the end of the public hearing, and we'll give Mr. Olin a chance to answer that question.
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
I was going, you're fine. That's why we have Joe here to keep us all in line. Or it's not Mr. Andrews. I appreciate that. Okay, so we will have Mr. Olin answer those questions or answer that question once our public hearing, once I've closed the public hearing.
Oops.
Okay, so is that the only question you have, or did you have other ones?
I've got more, but I can wait.
Well, it doesn't look like there's any more hands up at this time, so if you'd like to keep going.
Okay, I was just curious about Kai Drive onto Tangerine Road. Is that just going to go east, or how's that going to work?
Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay, I've got questions for you that we will follow up with. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, and I've also got Dave Perry. Okay, you are unmuted. Mr. Perry?
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, we can.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. Good evening, members of the commission, staff, and public. Thanks for the opportunity to speak. My name's Dave Perry. I'm the president and CEO of the Greater Oro Valley Chamber of Commerce, resident of Oro Valley for almost 13 years now. To be fully transparent, our chamber has a $40,000 annual operating agreement with the town of Oro Valley for services performed on its behalf. My comments tonight are most definitely not among those services. The applicant is a member of our chamber. Its representative is not a member of our chamber. No one has asked me to speak this evening. It's always fun for me to follow my friend Devin Sloan. And Devin, good to hear you. I've been watching this process as it's moved forward. Earlier today, I submitted a letter on behalf of our chamber expressing its support for the Type 1 General Plan Amendment, as well as the rezoning from C1 to R6. At their core, we believe these changes are in the best interests of the community and its government. You know, this is a piece of scraped idle ground right now that generates no economic activity. If we amend our general plan and we allow this rezoning to occur, that could create development that may bring new residents to work and live and play and spend money among us here in Oro Valley, lifting the opportunity of nearby businesses now dealing with a pandemic. And you've heard from some of the folks at the Safeway Plaza, and of course, while adding tax revenues to the municipal purse. You know, I've been saying for years now, Paul can attest to this, that we believe more intensive land uses make sense in our busiest corridors, such as Tangerine Road, not too far from Oracle. As you all know, we're running out of those kinds of parcels, and it's important that they generate the highest, most responsible economic activity that supports the community and government alike over the long term. The interesting part of the question before you tonight, in my view, is whether to allow all of these proposed uses to move forward with the tentative development plans before you. You know, we've seen the rankings, you've seen the apartment studies, you've seen the Volbridge study that talks about the benefit of apartments economically. But as Paul has pointed out, these other uses have economic activity associated with them as well. Staff has recommended the removal of senior care and single family residential tentative development plans from the rezoning application. I understand staff's arguments. I also hear from the applicant that maybe senior care is not a preferred use there. And they're also wondering if we could keep single family residential, perhaps with some sort of delay as they pursue other market opportunities. And that kind of makes sense to me, and certainly want to be supportive of business here. You know, markets drive these kinds of decisions, and I don't want to hamper or limit what the market possibilities are for the applicant, but if that's what they're saying about senior care as an example specifically, and if that single family use could wait a year, I think that's perfectly fine. You know, when you back up and take a big look at this project, you know, the Kai Capri parcel has significant open space. We've been talking about it for the 10 years I've been at the chamber. There are trails, there are buffer zones, views are being protected, noise is being minimized, traffic is taken the right way. So, you know, broadly, I think this is a great proposal for Oro Valley. Respectfully, we ask for your favorable recommendations this evening. as soon as you figure out the piece about senior care and single family. Thank you for your time and for your service.
All right, thank you. Mr. Dave Perry, are there any other members of the public who would like to comment? The last call. I'm not seeing any hands. All right, so with that, I don't see any more raised hands. I am going to close our public hearing, and I'm going to move on to some discussion with the commissioners. Oh, actually, I'm going to turn the time over first to Mr. Paul Oland. If you could answer those few questions. Let me, are you unmuted then? All right, Mr. Oland?
Yep, I hear you.
Okay, great, and I can hear you too. Would you mind addressing those questions?
Sure.
Do you remember them?
I do. Thank you. Chair, commissioners, the two questions that I wrote down was, when will a land use decision be made amongst the tentative development plans that were proposed? What will be that trigger? And also, what is the configuration of traffic flow proposed at the intersection of Kai Drive and Tangerine Road? So the first question is, as Mr. Perry actually just explained, it really is market driven. We have our preferences, and I explained those before. We would really like to chase after the two higher density options first. Land development contracts take a while to hash out, but hopefully, if this is approved again in December, we can start getting into serious discussions with a developer, and then get it under contract, and move forward with detailed design. So the timing on that is really hard to pin down, but it will be a few months before we have really gotten under contract with one particular developer. And at that point, you'll start to see progress being made. And at that point, we'd be pursuing one of the options. So it really is based on when and how quickly we can get to an agreement with a developer. The other question about Kai Drive on Tangerine, and this has actually been a subject of conversation we've had with town staff on the engineering side, is basically what we're proposing is sort of a three-quarter access at that intersection. So there'd be a right-in, right-out, and a left-in, not a left-out. There traffic coming down the hill, heading east towards the bridge, is accelerating, and that would make potential safety issues for people trying to make a left out heading back up the hill. That's a worrisome conflict there on a road like that. So we've eliminated that from the proposal. So people heading west on Tangerine, after coming from Oracle, after they cross the bridge, they'll be able to drop into a left turn bay, protected left turn bay, and then make a southbound left onto Kai Drive instead of looping all the way over to First Avenue and back up. So three-quarter access there is what's proposed.
All right, thank you very much. Mr. Oland, I am now going to turn the time back over to our commission to discuss what we think about both of these motions. All right, Commissioner Bergsma.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. So I guess I sort of see this a little bit differently than Mr. Olin and Mr. Perry. Mr. Olin, first of all, is doing a good job representing the property owner here. He's doing what most property owners want, which is to have as much flexibility as possible about how they develop their property and as much that they can have that flexibility. So that's he's doing his job. That's good. But I think this, as we learned from the discussion of the apartment study at our last meeting, we need to take advantage of opportunities as they arise to see more high-density residential development, whether that be regular apartment complexes or the casitas, which I think is pretty intriguing. And, you know, there are a few places in Oro Valley where you can do that, and this probably is one of them. So to have this developed as single family within a year or so because they can't market something else, that would be sad for this community. I think we need to focus on those two options. I'm also concerned about the so-called townhouse option, which is Mr. Olin, I think, acknowledged is more like a condo option. But I you know, that's maybe okay, but I am not real supportive of that option. I guess I would lean towards the highest density options, which would be the apartments and the casitas.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Bergsma. Does anybody else from the commission have thoughts on that as well? Commissioner Hong.
Sure. I agree that the area be developed for higher density type of structure. My only concern is that has there been any study on, you know, the population, you know, making a move towards the area? Do we have a possible study to back up, you know, that there will be residents coming in to fill up these spaces that are being built? Or is this just, you know, if you build it, they'll come, kind of wish well thinking? I'm just curious.
All right. Is there a staff member that wants to answer that, or?
Chair Gamble, this is Mike Spade. Thank you for the opportunity. If you don't mind, I'd actually ask Mr. Olin to elaborate on that a little bit, just based on what they're seeing on the market side. That would be more appropriate.
Mr. Olin, you are also unmuted.
Sure. Thank you. So this is, in this market, this is not a speculative request. The apartment developers, the developers of these rental casitas, and the single family guys too, but in terms of the higher density stuff, they are all very interested in building. There's huge demand. The very high occupancy rates in all of the other apartment complexes in Oro Valley are evidence of this. They have wait lists. When I went on to check the rents on that list of type A apartments, two of them, they didn't even have rents quoted because they were full. So there's definitely a demand. And the other thing I should mention is that we've heard from some of the larger employers in various contexts, Ventana and the hospital, that they have a base of employees that would like more options like this in Oro Valley, that don't necessarily want to come in and buy a house. So there's definitely strong demand. And when you look at it nationally, there's also a trend in this direction for whatever reason, toward higher end rental properties, and they get built and they fill up very quickly. And if you look at the rental casita developments all around Tucson, and there's a lot of them up in Phoenix, they're getting built like crazy. They fill up quickly, their rents increase, demand is there. Especially, you know, another thing that probably adds to it is this influx of people that we're getting into the state of Arizona. And a lot of them are coming from places that have higher costs of living, so they can come here and they can easily afford an amenitized option that doesn't come with the maintenance of a house. So definitely demand-based request. It's not speculative.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Hong, did you have any other questions? Oh, I think you've unmuted yourself. So are there any other commissioners that have something they'd like to discuss? Commissioner Sturman, you're unmuted.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I I actually concur with Commissioner Hausberg. And the basic reason for that is personally, I came from a townhouse development in the Midwest. And the type of quality that would be attractive to people that wanted to buy a townhouse, I really don't think that you could do it in that space. That's my profile, because I've seen what townhouses can be, and I don't think that the area would complement the townhouse appearance. And so I really support, and I really am intrigued following our last meeting that we were talking about the high-density casitas along with the apartments. I think personally those are the only two options to really consider, out of the five. So I wanted to bring forth that idea because I think it's very, very compelling what we had received last month. And so that's where I'm aiming for. So I wanted to thank you, Chair McKellen.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Sturman. Commissioner Bergsma, you are unmuted.
Thank you again, Chair Gamble. I just wanted to acknowledge, and staff, correct me if I'm wrong, but even if we only recommend approval of two of the concept plans, we are not precluding other types of development, including single-family detached and townhouses and so on, as has been requested by the applicant. It just means they'll have to go back through the process again in terms of getting approval of a tentative development plan. So those are not totally precluded. It just means they have to go through another process to get there if, in fact, the two that I think we're preferring right now don't work out.
Chair Gamble, Member Bergsma, that is correct.
All right. Thank you. Did you have any other questions, Commissioner Bergsma, or thoughts?
No, that does it. Thank you.
All right. I tend to agree with that decision as well. I am also not fond of the townhome option or the single family option. I agree with staff on that. You know, as we look through the Our Voice, Our Future plan, one of the things, and you know, just on all of the different community pages that I'm on, everybody is always wanting, you know, more businesses, more restaurants, more dining options. And I know with COVID that is making things very difficult. I know with the Amazon effect that is also hurting all of our local businesses. And I know we've already lost, Oral Valley and Tucson have already lost quite a few really special places, in my opinion, due to the pandemic and not being able to run as usual. And so I also support the two higher options and not the other three. And I think this is kind of that a really great balance where I know we've all of the commissioners have gone and done a site tour. We've seen all of the view sheds. This really is kind of tucked away and hidden and would be a great place for something like the casitas or the apartments. And so that's also what I'm in favor of. And so if the other commissioners are supporting that, then perhaps we can have some help with the town in making a motion where the townhome option is also excluded, if that's something that everybody else agreed with. So that was kind of my thoughts on that. Commissioner Bergsma, I see you've got your hand up again. You are unmuted.
So if you're ready for a motion, I'll take a run at one and see what we think.
I haven't asked for that yet.
Okay, well, then I won't.
Did anybody else have, I will ask for that really, really, really soon. Anybody else have any other thoughts or comments from the commission? Okay, I've not seen it. So Commissioner Bergsma, I will now ask for a motion. And since you were so interested in it.
Okay, well, I'll give it a try here.
Okay.
So I'm basing this sort of on the staff recommendation, but I've made some changes. And so I'll read through this. And if after I'm done, you have questions, feel free to ask them.
Okay. So, and remember, we have two items, item A and item B.
Oh, that's right. Well, why don't we do this? I'm going to decline to make my, because my motion relates to the rezone more than it does the general plan amendment. So let's
okay.
Do maybe somebody else can make a motion on the general plan amendment.
Okay. So I will ask for a motion for item A, the general plan amendment. Commissioner Sturman.
Thank you, Chair Gamble. I move that we recommend approval of the Type 1 General Plan Amendment to change the two Cai Capri special area policies to allow multifamily residential development on the subject parcel located southeast of the First Avenue and Tangerine Road intersection based on the findings that the request complies with the amendment criteria and the general plan.
All right, thank you. Can I get a second? Oh, Commissioner Hurst.
Second that.
All right, Mrs. Ancona, if we could get a roll call vote from you on the
Commissioner
first
Bergsma? Sorry.
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 6-0.
All right. I will now move on to item B. And Commissioner Posey, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Real quick.
I'm so sorry. I'm a little confused because of the on the agenda, it says public hearing and discussion. It didn't say anything about a vote. And I was just wondering, is it supposed to? I don't.
Chair Gamble, Member Posey, this has to have two votes.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Joe, what I'm talking
both
about.
Both require votes.
Okay, so what I'm talking about, Joe, is on the agenda. It doesn't say anything about voting on it.
That's okay.
It's okay?
That's okay.
Okay, I always thought it had to have that on there, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Because she is correct. The subject just says public hearing discussion regarding the proposed First Avenue and Tangerine Road General Plan Amendment.
Right. Yeah.
So we're still good to go?
We're still good?
We are voting today, folks.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Posey. All right. So for item B, Commissioner Bergsma, you're unmuted.
Okay. So now is the correct time. I move to recommend approval of the First Avenue and Tangerine Road rezoning, removing the existing zoning designation of C1 and adding a zoning designation of multifamily residential R6 based on the finding the request complies with the Town of Oro Valley Zoning Code and General Plan, subject to conditions 2 and 7 in attachment 1 to the November 10th, 2020 staff report, as well as the following conditions. Only tentative development plan exhibits 3C2A apartments and 3C2B rental casitas are included for the rezoning. And staff recommended condition 3 is modified to remove mention of exhibit 3C2D tentative development plan D townhomes. And then just to clarify, staff recommended conditions of approval 4, 5, and 6 are not included in this motion since they are not relevant to the recommended tentative development plans. So that's what I'm suggesting. I'm open to any questions about the motion before people want to make a second.
We should probably get a second before we start running questions. We are in the middle of a motion.
Okay.
You can always change the motion later, Mr. Bergsma.
Yep, sounds right.
I second.
Okay, we've got a second.
Okay. Okay. Now that we have a second, if there's anybody has any questions about the motion, I'm open to trying to answer them.
All right.
Chair Gamble, can I just clarify a quick question?
Yes.
Sorry, just to make sure that I'm clear on our side. So, Commissioner Bergsma, please correct me if I heard differently. I thought I heard you say that condition one in the conditions of approval was not going to be included. Is that your intention?
That's right, because I've restated condition one in my own way. So what I put in there substitutes for condition one.
Got it. Okay. So to be clear, the senior care, the single family residential, and townhome options are to not be included.
Right. So instead of stating what is excluded, I said what is included.
Okay. Just to clarify. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. Are we good from a clarification standpoint from the town, Mr. Spade?
I believe so.
Okay. You know what we're trying to say? I don't want there to be confusion down the road.
Yes. No, we got it.
All right. Okay. So any other commission questions about this? I'm not seeing any. So I am going to ask Mrs. Ancona if she could give us a roll call vote.
Commissioner Bergsma?
Aye.
Commissioner Hurst?
Aye.
Commissioner Hong?
Aye.
Commissioner Posey?
Aye.
Commissioner Sturman?
Aye.
And Chair Gamble?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for that. I'm going to turn the time over to Mr. Michael Spaeth for a Planning Division update.
Yes, thank you, Chair, members of the commission. Upcoming neighborhood meeting is on November 17th, just the week before, 2 weeks before, I guess, actually. Thanksgiving, we have a first neighborhood meeting for the Church of the Nazarene planned area development, which is over there on Calle Concordia. So please attend if you're available.
What was the date on that again?
November 17th.
Okay.
So a week from tonight.
Got it. Thank you.
If my math is right. So the next Planning and Zoning Commission meeting is scheduled for December 1st. At the moment, we have 3 items on that agenda. The first is for a sign criteria request for the shops at Oro Vista. Staff will be providing an update on both the general plan and planning work plan items. We do that every year just to kind of give you a status update on where we are. And then we will also be discussing the 2021 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting dates to make sure we hear from everybody before we finalize those. And just an FYI, we do anticipate that the Westwood Look case will be presented to the commission in January. So I know there's a lot of community buzz about that. So that's our expectation at this point. So thank you, Chair. That concludes my update.
All right, great, thank you. All right, could I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All right, can I get a second? Commissioner Posey?
Second.
All right, meeting adjourned. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
We'll see you all in December.
Thank you. Bye. Happy Thanksgiving. Bye. Bye-bye.